If you enjoy this podcast, don't forget to subscribe to catch all future episodes. Also, check out our YouTube channel at youtube.com/switchboxtv for video versions of this show, plus loads more videos covering sport, music, and lifestyle. That's youtube.com/switchboxtv. This episode was recorded back in May of 2020.
Delighted to have it's a second part special with Big Sam, mainly because I knackered up the first one. But hey, it's that kind of thing, right? You started for 10, no conferring, eyes down, full house. Who was the best manager you played under?
Best manager, I'd have to give it to Ian Greaves, established me as a first team player at Bolt Wanderers when, under Jimmy Armfield, there were doubts about whether I was good enough or not. Jimmy had played me a couple of times. He'd also played Paul Jones and Peter Reid, who were similar age to me, Neil Watmore, who were playing a lot more than I was. I was going to get the odd game. Ian Greaves came as Jimmy's assistant, and Jimmy then went to Leeds United. Ian took over, and there was a player in playing with Paul Jones at the time called Don McAllister, who was sold to Tottenham. And this probably wouldn't happen today. Ian Greaves called me in and said, "You've got the last 8 games. If you're any good, we'll keep you on. If you're crap, you're gone." And I think I had the 8 or 10 games towards the end of the season. And that was it. We know what happened to Bolton Wanderers after that. We got up after that one.
Best goal?
Best goal, 75, Burnden Park. And you can guess what type of goal it was against Sunderland off a corner.
And what it's type about, of goal was about it? About 40-yard header, wasn't it?
Yeah, yes. Yes, okay. Well, Peter Thompson took the corner, and I ran from out, just got the timing right from outside the box, and crashed it into, and it was a Gerald Sinstad commentary. What a happy boy! So I was very happy then.
Is it true you were voted the best looking player in the Northwest by Granada viewers?
That's true.
Okay. But, did you?
There was a little song done by it. And I think that they did it at the end of the season, and obviously I didn't expect it. I didn't realise I was so handsome.
You've been compared to a young Harry Styles. Is that fair?
Well, one or two people have actually said that because they pulled up a couple of old pictures of me with the hair all over the place. You know what I mean? So one or two have actually commented, in fact, more than one or two, and says it's true. Like you do look a bit like him.
You got to take that.
I'd like to have his voice. I know that.
Best player you played with?
Ooh, gosh. Best player I played with would probably be Frank Worthington.
Why?
Because of his unbelievable character and ability rolled all into one. He would go down in the Premier League as an absolute treat today. And we'd be an iconic, deemed as an iconic world-class footballer because of his ability to control the ball, to cope with the physical contact he had to suffer at that time, which is what he wouldn't have to put up with now. He would beat him with his pure skill. He could take the punishment the centre-half tried to give him and then laugh at him when he'd score the winner. And I think that to tell you how good he was, when we got promoted from the Wanderers into the first division, we stayed up by about finished about fourth from bottom, and he won the Golden Boot that year with 26 goals. So you can imagine the games we struggled in against Man United and Liverpool and teams like that are at the top. But Worthy still knocked in 26 goals that season and won the Golden Boot. I think the problem was with Worthy, Rob, is a lot of managers, because of his character, were frightened to take him, and because they didn't think they could handle him. But he was really easy to get on with. He was playing football and he was training every day and he was getting picked every week. He would always deliver.
How good was Benny's nightclub?
Benny's was our haunt in the early what, 70s, late 70s, 80s, in Radcliffe. And we would congregate many a footballer from across the whole of the Northwest, not just footballers, artists, actors, snooker players, rugby players, you name it.
Brilliant.
And on the side, they built a Robson's bar, which was a bit of Brian Robson, had a little bit of a share in it. And I think that we went and enjoyed our nights after games, many nights after games. And it's relaxed and chilled out after football matches and meeting other players, other personalities in other areas was just fantastic why it lasted. Absolutely fantastic.
Toughest opponent?
I'd say there's the tall, strong, big ones would be would have been a Joe Royal or a Joe Jordan. The smaller ones, which were sometimes a particular problem for me, would be the Kenny Dalglishes, the Alan Brazils, and the fast ones would be certainly the, without any question of doubt, the Ian Rush. So the three.
Were you a dirty player? Yeah. Were you a dirty player?
Dirty. In terms of what they call dirty today, yes. Then it was just letting them know they're in a game. I think the manager used to encourage it. Most managers used to encourage it. The referees would let you get away with it, the first one. Not so much after that. It depends what sort of tackle you made on your opponent in the first one. But generally, as the time went on and you learn about the players you play against, you can kick a player. For instance, Brian Creed, who was a difficult player to play against. If you upset Brian, he'd get better.
Yeah.
He would get more aggressive towards you, produce more of his skills, and really get upset about you trying to physically, or the physical contact you would have with him. So you'd learn over the years that asking Brian how he was, how was the family, is he going okay, you know, he's looking all right, you know, and trying to keep him sweet that way rather than upsetting him by kicking him and him coming back at you and wanting to fight your challenger, and ultimately with his skill would probably get the better of you.
What was the biggest fight you saw in training, and were you involved in it?
Well, that wasn't in football as a player. That was a manager. That was Bernard
Tell me.
Mendy.
Tell me about it.
That was Bernard Mendy and Akin Boulant, Bolt Wanderers, on the training ground. It started with a tackle from Bernard. Akin didn't like the tackle. Bernard mumbled something in French that I'm not so sure Akin could or couldn't understand. A scuffle broke out. So as while being on the training ground, we could get between that. We came off the training ground. I stopped the training session at that point and came off the training ground. I think I'll better stop this now. That then started with another scuffle just outside the dressing room. That got broken up. And then the next thing I know, Faz Page, who's our physio, brought Akin Boulant brought Bernard into my office and said, "You'll have to leave me again because they've just kicked off again in the dressing room," which was apparently a pretty hell for leather go. But because they had slippy floor and they went in with the studs on, they could hardly stand up while they were trying to fight each other. But there was a bit of blood. There was a bit of blood by this time, and so I'm calming Bernard down in my office, which was a porter cabin at the time. And the next thing, the door burst open and Akin Boulant came flying through the door with a foot kick right in Bernard's chest. Bernard gets up and runs out to try and catch Akin Boulant. Lucky enough, the staff's outside. It gets broken up and we send them home as quick as we could. So that was the biggest... and biggest and most intense fight I ever saw on the training ground.
Who's the best player when you were a manager? Who's the best player you've worked with?
There's so many. I've been fortunate enough to work with. And I think that if we look at players such as recently at Everton, Wayne Rooney. Even though probably Wayne was coming to the latter stages of his career, you know, it's such a talent. I think that Nicholas Anelka, as a goal scorer, as a frontline player, was probably the best I ever worked with. Without a doubt, one of the massive influences in terms of getting to Europe was Fernando Hierro, who did most of his career in Spain, as we know. People, I don't think, realise such how big he was in Spain at Real Madrid and Spanish international level. The entertainment value and the captainship of JJ Okocha was just outstanding. The professionalism and the work ethic at 34, 35 year old of Gary Speed and his influence on young players was massive. And then there's the snake. And this snake was called Yuri Yorkaev. That wasn't my nickname for him, that was Arsene Wenger's nickname, because he said you never know when he's going to strike. And I think Yuri was the start of a great campaign at Bolton by being the first World Cup winner, World Cup international player and world great player that came to Bolton and started our successful journey.
Who's the most difficult player you've had to look after or manage?
There's too many to mention. I think there was if I can remember his name. Oh dear. Mario Jardel was one.
Oh yeah.
He was difficult. Brazilian international, 6'4", came from Portugal, 260 goals in 390 games. Thought we'd found a big one, and was a party animal, which we couldn't control. So we had to do our best to move him on, not doing the right things. You know, we had a particularly rigid regime on how you looked after your body and how you did all the areas that we introduced to Bolton Wanderers. He hadn't experienced any of that. He was still like living in the days when we played, when we used to go to Bennett after a game and, you know, we stopped drinking on Tuesday night and there was no diet. He was one of those still. He was still living in that era and he struggled badly in the Premier League. And then there was a lad called Jabil Diawara, I think he was called. There was actually a Champions League finalist with Monaco. And he came and the police rang one night saying, "We've got your player. He's drunk. He's trying to change the tyre on his car. He's flat. And it's 2:30 a.m. in the morning." So that was the end of him.
Well, was El Hadj Diouf misunderstood?
El Hadj Diouf wasn't he caused me some problems, but the problems that El Hadj caused were not as big as those that I just mentioned. They were more along the lines of being naughty rather than actually a real poor discipline, like you mean. So he had his way. It was difficult for some of the other players to accept some of his comments sometimes on how brilliant he was and just how good he was as a player, and nobody's better than him, and you're lucky to play with me, all that sort of stuff. He wasn't in terms of frightened of putting himself forward, just how good he was. But actually on the field of play, his contribution at that time was massive. And in all fairness to him, Bolton Wanderers fans, you know, took him to their heart. Like, I mean, they used to sing his name on a regular basis. But yeah, we had a few problems with Doofy. The biggest one of all, obviously, was getting him to cut the spitting bit out, because that had happened. And once we'd had a proper conversation, and that didn't ever happen again. That never occurred again.
The best chairman you've had?
Well, that was I had a great chairman at Millwall, who took me to Millwall and did everything he possibly could to settle the family and make my career and extend my career after the problems I had at Sunderland. Called Alan Thorne, the owner of the club. It was like a Tommy Trinder with a Trilby, you know, and the Crombie coat, the drill in there, the Cockney accent. He was fabulous. Got me in Linen House, got the family down in the school, allowed me to play for Millwall straight away and settle the family. I was living away from the family at the time at Sunderland, finding difficult to cope with. In that days, he was probably the best. In football terms, as a manager, there's no doubt about the influence Father Joe Young had in Limerick. A Catholic priest with a Protestant manager, sometimes was frowned upon in Limerick, but his support and his enthusiasm for life is just unbelievable. They just couldn't knock him, no matter how difficult it got for him. He ran a very difficult area in his parish, where the pitch was, where Limerick played. And some of his teaching in his life as a priest, and some of the things he talked about with me were very influential as I went on in my management career. Then I think, as in terms of chairman, I would probably say the first 4 years, probably the first 5 years at the Wanderers were great with Phil Gartside. And that, unfortunately, God rest his soul, now he's passed away, faded towards the end, sadly, purely and simply on the lack of understanding and the lack of the fact that they didn't realise that the ambition of players and managers is to succeed. And if you try and knock that and try and stop you succeeding, then it becomes a problem.
Who's the best footballer, Robbie Williams or Ollie Mears?
Whoa. Well, it's a big age gap difference. There's a big age gap difference in that, like, I mean, I think that...
Okay, but if you said age, if they were same age, if it was level ages...
If they're the same age, I would think that Robbie would just pip him. Mm-hmm. Robbie's a good defender and a good left foot. Ollie's got some good skills as well as a wide man. But I think Robbie probably just over Ollie.
And who was the best? Who was the best you managed at Soccer Aid?
Who's the best I managed? Mm. All of them. It's just unbelievable. You can't pick anyone out. Niall Horan, coming together in terms of the pack, and obviously Niall's not in the England side or in the England squad, but I mean it's just unbelievable. The characters is what I found is that when you get the opportunity to manage the celebrities, they're so intense about doing so well when they come together. And you know, obviously know how famous they are as celebrities, but they just love football. They just love being there.
Yeah.
And they're in awe of some of the legends that come and play. You know, that some of the top names have joined in Soccer Aid. And to consider Robbie and Johnny started it as a one-off about, I think it was 12, maybe 14 years ago.
Amazing.
I met him in this Chelsea Harbour Inn in Chelsea when I was ball manager before we played. And I said, do you think this will work? I said, yeah, I think it'd be absolutely great. And they just thought, well, they'll have a one-off, so it goes. And it's just escalated into, you know, one of the biggest and most enjoyable fundraisers you can get.
Can you dance?
Not much now. Used to in the old days, not too bad.
which I wasn't going to ask this one, but have you been asked? Were you asked about Strictly?
I have been asked Strictly, yes. But I feel
what we're talking here. What we're talking waltzes or foxtrots? Are we talking? I've seen you thrown a few shapes.
I'm not so sure I get to that.
I've seen you thrown a few shapes, by the way.
I can throw a few shapes, and I've been in the past. And if you've been to Benny's, you need to know how to throw a few shapes, as you well know. But I think that Strictly is a fabulous, fabulous show. But the problem has always been, it's such a long period of time to commit yourself to Strictly. So I always wondered what would happen if a job came up in between starting, because you start months and months and months before it comes on the television. You know what I mean? So it's never really happened for me, even though I was privileged to be asked, and it is a privilege to be asked. And as much as I'd have liked to have done it, I've always thought that I would hate to commit to that and then have to turn around and say to him, I'm sorry, I'm leaving you, I'm off.
Yeah. Okay. Last supper. If you had one last supper, what would it be? What's your favourite?
Food wise,
yeah,
bottle of Pomerol with I would say today I would love a crab cocktail to start, without any question about that. And I'm still a massive old favorite that you can't get in a restaurant, but Linda cook at home for now would be Dover sole, cauliflower cheese, runner beans, and big, thick, chunky chips. And at the end of that, if we got to a dessert, which I don't often, but if I was, and I go back way down the years, and then go for Black Forest Gatto with Chantilly cream.
Oh, what's the best restaurant you've been to? Can you name one?
Northcote Manor.
Lovely, that's all I need.
Northcote Manor, all landlocked. Nigel Howarth, who you'll see on the telly as a...
Brilliant.
A big chef, a Michelin star chef, has owned Northcote Manor for many, many years and was the catering guy at Blackburn Rovers, one of the... got to know him superbly well. Anybody listening to this, if you live in that area, go to Northcote Manor. It's unbelievable.
Do you know much about wine?
Not as much as Fergie.
Is Fergie's wine as good as they say?
Yes. Yes, when he gets a good bottle out, it's as good as you'll get.
What other sports do you watch on TV?
Ooh. I like all the major golf competitions. I love the Ryder Cup. The Six Nations, when it's the National Rugby or the World Cup. Not as avid now, apart from the semi-final and the final of Wimbledon, when that's on. And not as much now when I used to watch Wimbledon all the way through. I used to watch snooker all the way through, and snooker's another one. The semi-final and the final of snooker is when you're on your own, because obviously Lynn's not a great lover of that. When you're on your own and you've got nobody minding you, you can sit there in front of your telly, a cup of tea, and watch those particular contests. When you're in the game like I am, and you you feel the tension and you feel the anxiety that everybody's feeling in the crowd, the players, that everybody, you can sense it through the TV. It all comes together, and it thrills me still watching those.
What do you like with technology?
Well, I'm on Zoom with you, aren't I? So
brilliant. Took you a while, in fairness.
I know what I am. I'm better than you. That's what I am.
That is not something.
If it wasn't for Beata, you'd be lost. You would, like me. I've got increasingly better, Rob. Do Apple Pay, do all sorts of stuff that way now. Skype, yeah. Zoom, FaceTime. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's WhatsApp, and it's got increasingly better. And because I've had so much time on my hands, not just under the lockdown, but certainly since I left Everton, I'm not an instruction reader. I'm a fiddler, practicing. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
trying that. What's this? And what does that do? And every now and again, my son Craig teaches me one new thing my phone might be able to do when he pops down, and then I try and remember that, and it's got pretty good now. But I won't do social media. I'm still not doing Instagram or Facebook or Twitter. Nah. Yeah. Not for me.
What you like a DIY?
Now, extremely poor. Not so bad in my younger days.
What do you mean? Well, you started off really terrible, did you? And now you're really poor.
No, I was a decorator. Because we had to be able to do that. Me and the brother-in-law used to help each other out. Lay the flags at the drive.
Fair dues.
Changing plugs, doing light fittings. We used to service both our cars, change the oil, the filter, the spark plugs, the HTD leads. Actually, I had a motor spares and accessory shop with my brother-in-law called Black Rod Motor Spares for about 3 years. So I got quite au fait with all the parts on a car that we used to sell, like you mean. So, I've done quite a lot.
Big times used cars. Yeah, I'm liking that, yeah. What's your tipple? What would you drink?
It's definitely gin and tonic now, like most people. You know, I've definitely become a gin fanatic. I'm a rhubarb and ginger favourite now, I've found. Can I mention the labels' names now? Fever Tree.
Name and shame away,
yeah.
Sam.
Fever Tree has without a doubt become the best tonic in the world. I don't know whether you agree. And of course, they've got different flavours now. Mediterranean, you know, the classics, you know, the watermelon or whatever they've got now. And you can choose and find one of your own. Now, I'm still not so much. Lynn likes all the fruits. I'm still like just a slice of lemon or lime, and don't take the flavour of the gin away too much.
Do you get hangovers?
I don't really drink enough now to get hangover on, to be honest with you.
I know.
I don't go that far anymore. It's not like a night out in Dubai anymore.
Have you made up with Arsene?
There used to be a hangover after a night out in Dubai with you and Beata.
Oh, hangover? Is it like a three-day? In fact, you know what? Yeah. Here's one for you. I had a hangover so bad after a night out with you, I gave away gilt-edged tickets to the Racing World Cup final. We couldn't get out of bed, the two of us. You know the World Cup, the Racing World Cup final, the Dubai event.
Dubai, yeah.
I rang someone up and said, "Do you want these tickets?" I couldn't get out of bed. That was after you, and I've never been since.
One of the biggest ones you get when you go to Dubai is when we got the chance to go to the Formula One at Abu Dhabi. And we got on that boat, what was it? Six-story yacht, was it?
Don't know.
Remember that?
Ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah. And we were that. We couldn't even go to the big show at the end. Well, I couldn't anyway. Me and Lynn had to.
No, I couldn't.
But that's a fabulous day. Formula One, Abu Dhabi. What a day.
Right. Have you made up with Arsene Wenger?
It wasn't never a problem the last probably three, four, five seasons, mutual respect. So that wasn't a problem. That was just the banter and the tit for tat we had in the younger days. A bit similar to with Rafa Benitez as well. But it was great at the time though. I used to love it.
Yeah, it should be great
thinking about setting it up, you know what I mean? Like, what am I gonna do today just to tickle, you know, tweak his, you know, kind of get under his skin a little bit. Because everybody used to go on about, like, it's all about Arsene and Fergie and you know, the top managers, like you mean. So I was in the Premier League thinking, well, what's wrong with me having a go at it? You know what I mean? Why am I not capable of, you know, getting under their skin? You know what I mean? So the one way
you did it quite well, in fairness.
Yeah, but one thing you've got to remember, your team's got to do the business for you, Rob. You've got to be very careful. If your team does the business for you, then you can get under the skin of the opposing manager. So as long as you've got that attribute by your team going out fighting for you, then you're on a winner.
Got a last few for you. Do you feel old?
Do I feel old?
Yeah.
No, generally, I don't feel old until I look in the mirror. Mm-hmm. And then when I look in the mirror, I go, oh, gosh, you know what I mean? I'm getting old. But other than that, actually, in real life, no, I don't feel old, apart from sometimes in the winter, the knees get a bit creaky. I can't quite do the things I used to do. So, you know, that all of a sudden that hits you by saying, you know, you're slowing down somewhat, big man, like, you know, but it's a fact of life.
I'm not getting morbid here. Are you scared of dying?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't like sleeping because I think it's a waste of life. You know what I mean? So if you're asleep, you can't remember what's happened when you're asleep. So if you've done 8 hours or 10 hours, that's 10 hours wasted for me. You know what I mean? Even though sleep is so important in your life and probably to extend your life, I just have this, you know, the least I can sleep, the better, because the more I can enjoy life while I'm awake.
Last one for you. What's better, your team scoring the winner in the last minute to win an absolutely massive game, or sex?
I'm not answering that one. That's too much. That's far, far too much. That's a silly question.
Hey, listen, that was brilliant. Thanks a lot.
All right.
Cheers. Brilliant, mate.